On today's show, we have comedy duo Kevin Clark and Travis Vogt. Kevin and Travis will be starring in an episode of Waggle Peas Theater entitled 31,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They'll also be giving helpful beauty tips, like how powdered rhino horn can help you get fuller, thicker eyelashes, and how eating less and exercising might be tearing your family apart. All on today's... This is Billa Waggle Dangle, and remember, there are two kinds of people in this world. People with attached earlobes and people with outy belly buttons. They both make me feel like my middle school gym teacher is making me shower after class without my swim trunks on. Go to facebook.com/BWDpodcast and like our page. It's organic, free range, and while it's not vegan, it is entirely kosher. You can also find us on iTunes, so please go subscribe and give us a good rating. Today in the podcast, we have comedy duo and sexual powerhouses Kevin Clark and Travis Vogt.
Hello.
Hello.
Was there something inaccurate about that intro?
No, that was a good description.
Yeah.
I thought that pretty much summed up.
I would say sexual dynamo.
I would peg you as the powerhouse.
Yeah.
It's Travis, not, it's and then Kevin, pretty. I could see the dynamo thing.
I'm a bit more of a dynamo. Dynamism. I mean, I think I'm more dynamic. Travis is more like, you know, brute force.
He's like the sleek ninja of sex, and I'm kind of like the Hulk.
Right, they don't have an orgasm until you're gone for a half hour.
Yeah. They don't even know that they're like, I just had an orgasm there, and then they see, like, the drapes, like, flapping like that. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
They're just cooking and 4 hours later.
Yeah, there's just a big Travis shaped hole in the wall.
Yeah, and they're dead.
Yeah. Or dying.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't see much after that.
Multiple head lacks. Mm-hmm. That means head lacerations.
Yeah.
Head lacks.
I'm all into a brief.
I'm basically a doctor at this point, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Is that how you type it out? Head lacks.
Head lacks, yeah. GSW.
Kevin's officially watched more ER at this point than Noah Wiley ever did.
Yeah,
I'm still a little weirded out by it. I still don't understand how... Because that's a lot. That's a ton of TV to go through for...
Yeah, I'm not even done yet. I'm on season 12.
God. It's like 40 awful. More seasons.
It's good, though. I still like it, actually. It's entertaining. It's a good show. I can see why I was on so long because it was... Like, people say it got bad, but I think it just didn't have George Clooney in it anymore. It wasn't bad, it was just not as good, but it was still kind of really awesome. It was just, you know, HBO came along and...
That changed everything.
Yeah, you know, The Sopranos and The Wire, people forget about ER. But halfway through season 12, I don't think rightly so. I don't think rightly so.
I'll never find out if you're right or not.
It's a good show. I would say if it was Chicago Hope, I would be like, yeah, you're right.
Oh. Shy Hope.
Nobody remembers Shy Hope.
I call it. I don't have time to say words in the complete.
I'm not gonna go. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
No, I got you.
You know what I'm talking about.
So everyone knows Kevin is doing an ER podcast.
I've done a couple. Yeah.
Trudging. Through, there's 12 seasons, is that right?
No, there's 15 seasons.
Oh, 15 seasons.
Right?
I'm doing a podcast with my buddy who watched it at the time. Noah Wiley. My friend Noah Wiley. my good friend.
We call him No-No.
Yeah. No-No. That's when he gets drunk.
Hey, No-No. Yeah, when we're real drunk.
Back in your cage.
Yep.
I can see, I tried a couple years back when I was unemployed, I was going to watch The Cosby Show from first season all the way through. Mm-hmm. And I think I only got to, like, halfway through season 6. And you know how when you leave a DVD in there playing, the show gets done, and then it goes back to the title screen, and then that part just keeps looping?
Yeah.
Like, I was seeing so much Cosby, like, the intro music was giving me, like, starting panic attacks.
Yeah.
Because it's... bah, 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 bah. I'm, like, cooking and... Or, like, in the bathroom or something, and I hear it, and it starts to get, like, really anxious, like, it's not going to stop.
Yeah, I should be a hypochondriac at
this
point.
This is not the best elevator music I've ever heard.
I should be afraid of everything at this point, the amount of traumas I've seen on a daily basis watching this show.
It's funny she was on ER, right? The bitchy blonde actress that nobody likes anymore that was in, like, 12 dresses.
Heigl. Hi.
Yeah.
No, she was on Grey's Anatomy.
Am I getting that confused?
Which was
based in Seattle.
Yeah, which is like terrible. Where people I think get confused with Because that was like the that's like a real bad hospital show from like whenever the early 2000s.
I think it's
or
still
mid-2000s.
On the air.
It might still be.
I swear to God, it might still be on the air.
I think it is. It's pretty popular.
I'm going to look it up right now. We don't have to.
No, let's not even look it up. Let's just pretend that
I think it is, though.
Sure.
I think it
or
is, too.
Or if it's not, then it went off the air like last year.
Yeah.
Like, man, I used to have a crush on her, and then as soon as she got into movies, like, all you heard about from like people that worked with her and stuff was they were just like just huge bitch.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, nobody likes her.
Horrible person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she gained a little bit of weight or like that evilness in her just came out in her face and I just became not attracted to her anymore. I'm not sure what switched me over.
You can become unattractive to a person if you don't care for who they are on the inside.
It's true.
That's kind of cool.
I even liked her in Knocked Up, too.
She's good enough.
But it pissed me off.
You know the story about that, right?
After Knocked Up came out, she did this interview and she's like really outspoken, which I think is a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing for
an actress
to be outspoken, for the record. But she was like, she'd be outspoken in a weird way. Like, that movie was a huge hit and it like sort of blew up her career
and
people love it. And then she was like, she got on these interviews and started accusing it of being sexist and those guys hate their women characters are one dimensional and they're so awful and
okay.
This and made me look like a bitch and a shrew and oh my god. And then you're like, sure. whoa, geez.
But the point is, like, she might have had some sort of point. You could be like, okay. But then the next movie she made was 27 Dresses.
Oh.
And then the thing after that was like the Gerard Butler one where she had like he puts a dildo in her a remote controlled dildo in her underwear.
Exactly.
She just made shit like that and you're like, that's way more sexy than
vibrator.
Knocked Up. It
was not a dildo.
Now,
was
I've only read about this vibrator.
It was a little tiny little vibrator thing.
Like a tiny
vibrator.
That scene. Yeah, okay.
Well, I was going to say a remote controlled dildo sounds terrifying.
And there are all these movies where she plays like a shrewish, harpy.
At least
in
Knocked Up,
like
she was like a realistic
person.
Yeah.
Where you're like,
yeah.
Well, I believe that. And you kind of like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Maybe it's just the roles. Because it seemed like all the roles she was coming out in, like in that show, and Grey's, and the other ones, she was just a really unlikable.
Well, she also talked shit about her, like, Grey's Anatomy, too. And she was like,
yeah,
I think I've moved beyond this.
That got her in trouble,
show's
too.
Bad.
Well, that's reasonable.
But it was like, but she doesn't make good movies.
Yeah,
so
right.
What
yeah.
are you talking about?
She said
are
that
you,
when she was still on the show.
Are you better than this show? I don't know if you are.
Yeah.
I
don't think so.
Awful movies. Oh, nothing but awful movies.
She's no Olivia Wilde.
No.
That girl.
Olivia Wilde
can jump mediums like no one else.
She's all over the place.
I don't know what I mean by that.
She's mostly in bad movies, though, Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Who's what? Where?
What name? What movie?
Tron. All right, we might be on a different page with Tron.
Oh,
Legacy.
You didn't like Tron? I liked it for what it was.
I did not like it. I did. But here's the thing. I thought Olivia Wilde was actually really good in it. And not only because she's, like, you know, super hot in, like, skin-tight video game outfit.
She looks like a hot lady as designed by a computer.
But she's really good as, like, a, you know, their character. That was an interesting part of that movie. That movie, I think people up and down on it.
Expect too much. It's Tron. Like, let's not set our bar to, it's a specific type of movie. It's better than the first Tron.
I watched the first Tron again, like when that whole thing was going down, and
kinda
I was
apples
like, this
and
movie is rough.
I think they're equal.
It was tough to make it through.
I think they're
apples
equal.
And oranges, I'd say, but
neither one of them make a lick of sense.
Right.
Both of them have their charms. They're from different time periods, so different kinds of effects and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the effects in both of them are great. Jeff Bridges is in both of them.
He sure is.
The
Death Punk
one thing we can all agree on is Jeff Bridges is in both of those movies.
I disagree!
Oh, man!
Damn it.
Ever the contrarian.
Not true, I guess. Well, Jeff Bridges is not in both Tron movies, apparently.
Mm-mm.
Jeff Bridges is a weirdo.
You heard it here first.
Jeff Bridges, not in both Tron movies. Stop the press.
Also, a gay woman.
Yeah, wow. That's true.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things make sense now, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
What else has she been in that's bad?
Olivia Wilde? I don't think she's in anything that's particularly awful, but every time I see a movie, it's like, oh yeah, Olivia Wilde's in that. And I'm like, I'm probably not going to watch that.
It's
some like middle-of-the-road thing where like, what? She was in what?
House.
Oh, she was on that show?
Yeah, she's good in that.
That's right, she was on House.
Yeah.
She's very attractive. I saw her on The Daily Show, and she's like super smart. Her parents were embedded journalists during wars and shit, apparently. She's actually really, I was like, oh, I saw her on The Daily Show and I thought she was 100 times more awesome than I had before. Before I thought she was awesome because she's like, you know, one of the most attractive people on the planet. It's
also 7'3".
Maybe.
Yeah.
No kidding. No, I heard that too.
And she's made of adamantium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely true. You can tell.
And yet she gets that heartbroken.
Well, you know what?
That adamantium
people made out of
heart.
Metal can still melt.
They can still feel.
Huh?
They can still feel. Strong men also cry.
What is that from?
Yeah, Big Lebowski coming back to Bridges again. Not bad, everyone.
We did it. We just make a diagram of this podcast. It's just so many. It's like a spider's web.
Let's go through Olivia. I'm not getting a whole lot of good reception here, but let's go through Olivia Wilde's filmography, shall we?
Well, see, I think I lost some respect for her when apparently she had been dating for a long time, like this millionaire prince, like a literal prince.
Mm-hmm.
I just, when I hear that, I'm like, well, that's stupid. You know?
Same with,
But what, I mean, but Selma? What are you gonna do?
Selma Hayek? She started...
Really, Selma Hayek too?
Well, she married some, like, billionaire...
Why are there so many princes?
European guy. Well, he's not a prince, but it's like...
That sort of thing.
Out of nowhere, I think she got pregnant and married, some billionaire...
Wait, so you lose respect for someone when they... What if she really... She likes this prince? What the fuck?
He was probably...
She's not allowed to marry a prince?
I bet he was rich.
I'm just saying, like... You were dating a normal guy. Like, of course, it's a millionaire prince, Olivia.
I know where you're coming from.
If Olivia Wilde was dating a normal guy, I would think that was worse.
Well,
because she was dating
I'm not saying Paul Rudd, but like his antecedent or something like that. Like Channing Tatum would even be better. Like than
Paul,
a prince.
If she was dating Paul Rudd, I would think that was fucking weird.
That would
weird.
Be a little weird. I meant like a Paul Rudd-esque sort of, like a cool, handsome,
talented
guy or something. Why does it have to be, why do you have to go to some small
if it was like
billionaire colony somewhere?
Maybe the prince is cool. Do you fucking know this prince? Do either of you guys
know this guy?
Neither of you?
I'm on a texting basis with him.
Really?
And he's just saying, it's a little cliche.
That's the Prince of Monaco doing.
It's cliche.
It's cliche.
Is it?
You know?
Grace Kelly did it.
It's kind of like when I see...
And she's dead, right?
It's a cliche because...
She did it and she died.
When one person does a thing, it's immediately a cliche. That's true. I forgot that rule.
Every time I see another fat guy, I'm like,
I take back my defense of Olivia Wilde.
You're just like, how original.
I'm not finding a...
Way to
go. I'm not getting Olivia Wilde's filmography here. We might have to wait on it.
Well, it's kind of like when you see these couples that are the same. Like, whether they're goth or punk. And they're both extremely goth. Like a couple or something. I'm like, so did you just go to like a goth club and you're like, hey, you're like me.
Yeah.
Let's date.
Yeah.
And so some, you know, amazingly gorgeous, rich actress is like, oh, I'm a prince, millionaire prince. I'm doing that.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I don't like it. I don't like
Anne Hathaway.
Well, she was dating
She dated like a super mega rich guy who ended up like going to jail for a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah,
and it was
nice.
And there was a little bit of Schadenfreude going on, I think, when he actually got arrested.
Schadenfreude. I think you're mispronouncing that.
Schadenfreude?
Yeah.
Freud? It's a German word. I don't care. I'm German. I honorarily pronounce them all correctly.
Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude. Schadenfreist!
Right. You're only correctly pronouncing it.
I love a good dish of Schadenfreist.
Fucking shit! That's how it's pronounced in Germany.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Scheit, froggen, shit.
You know how my name is pronounced in Germany? Fucked.
Your last?
Yeah, that's how they pronounce it in Germany. So
really?
I don't need to go around pronouncing German words right.
With a V or F sound?
Well, it's V-O-G-T, but they say fucked.
Fucked.
Wow. Fucked.
That's pretty cool.
It's grim. It's pretty grim.
I'd like to hear that. Walking around in Germany?
Just people pointing at you going, fucked.
Is it funny to them, though?
Oh, that's not funny. Nothing's funny to them. They're German.
That's true.
Nothing's remotely funny.
They are German. No, of course it's not funny.
Yeah, there's not even a crack of a grin at all.
They just ask you
I've realized that it sounds like a derogatory word in English. I do not care.
Do not care.
We are all doomed.
Do you want to be peed on? No? Fuck.
The jungle will kill us all. All Germans hate the jungle.
So, let's talk about the show, Cinematic.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Tuesday, right?
And it's second Tuesday of every month.
At the White Rabbit in Fremont.
Yeah.
And you guys pretty much pick a really bad / good / bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
We try to.
A bunch of you get on the mics there and kind of do a Mystery Science Theater thing over it.
Well, Alicia Sanchez is the one who, she started it as her own, her own podcast from her living room when we do that.
We finished it.
And Travis and I were on, I was on like a lot of them. A lot of it was, I was on a lot of them because I was always willing to do it. And flaky comedians would constantly like tell her they were going to do it up to the last minute and then back out. And she'd call me and go, are you doing anything tonight? And I'd be like, no. And I'd go over and do it. So I did it like eight or nine times before we started doing the live one. Then she started doing the live one, and she asked us to do, co-host it with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see why that would work better. If you're just audio, it wouldn't make any sense. If you're, it's a movie, like, you want to be watching the movie to get the real sync up.
It worked, because you would, she would play clips from it on the audio podcast, and then, you know, we have the, different categories of things that we go over in the movie.
It's basically what we learned, like, you know, it's distilling down the best parts of these terrible movies. Like if you see if you don't want to go through the trouble of watching one of these terrible movies, and some people don't, we'll tell you what was funny.
Yeah, it's kind of like we go through it, and you know, we say what we learned, we make tallies of things that happened ridiculous amount of times. Kind of the cliff
notes for bad movies.
Quotes, and then we find a penis name from the credits, you know, every time.
And then we freestyle rap.
And we freestyle rap at the end of it.
Which is, of course, the best part.
It's the best part of the whole show.
I was gonna say, you guys seem like you'd probably be naturals at that.
Well, it shouldn't go without saying that Kevin is quite possibly the worst freestyle rapper of all time, which is worth the price of admission.
That's
it
pretty really big claim.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is.
He backs it up with action every month too.
No, I do.
That. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I've been actually the last several ones I've been a little better. I rhymed twice this time. Two rhymes.
Not
two
a bad.
Rhymes. Two rhymes. Not bad. Not
two
bad.
For 100.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty awful. It's like just me sort of talking, trying to figure out something to.
Well, I'll tell you, us white guys, things were
Travis
bad.
Travis is good, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm one of the best freestyle rappers in America today. Eminem hasn't been freestyling all that much, so I think I've superseded him.
That's true.
So you are
still not quite as good as Jay-Z. I mean, I'm always, you gotta chase that. Chase that dragon? Is that the term?
But Jay-Z's not white, so I think you guys are in a different. It's a different.
I don't
league.
See color, so
in rap you should though.
Yeah, you're probably right, because that's what
you're like.
You find
I don't know why
I'm to listen to.
I don't know why I'm having so much trouble building a rap career.
I don't like any of this rap. I keep buying white rappers. It's terrible.
I keep buying French rap. Yeah.
Oh God. I'm sure that exists.
No, it definitely exists.
I think. I'm trying to remember. I think it was in Rome when I was in my hotel and turned it on. It wasn't MTV, but it was something similar, and it was the most grotesque, over-the-top, like, French rap.
How else could it be?
It was just horrible.
Yeah. They always have a voice like that, don't they?
Yes.
Why do you have to rap in that? Nobody has a deep voice in France?
Awful. That's pretty good.
That's what I've heard it before. It's what it all sounds like, and they can't all be the same rapper.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, it's like certain languages lend themselves to things. Like, Vietnamese has these, like, the same word will mean different things depending on the annotation. Like, at the end, if you go up or stay norm, or like middle or go down, which just lends itself to a real kind of like nasal, annoying, at least say it to the English, because it's all this, and that's just the language, but I think that, I've never heard like,
yeah, that's that thing.
A real baritone Vietnamese like guy just... Yeah. Sounded smooth as hell. I haven't heard that.
The Barry White of Vietnamese guys.
Right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I would like to hear that, actually.
But I swear to God, I've heard French people that have, like, deep... Like, maybe they just... The French people heard some deep-voiced rappers and were just not having any of it or something. Some sort of stylistic choice.
The French people with deep voices, they're a bit too sophisticated for rap.
Le Savon Blanc.
Or whatever. I like that.
No stuff for me. That's not even French.
That's Spanish.
No. I took French for a year. I took Spanish for 3 years, so the Spanish wins every time.
That's pretty good.
3 years of it.
How much have you retained?
None.
Yeah, none?
I think I can maybe count to 10, and I know... that's it. I can probably count to 10.
Wow.
And fin de semana means weekend, so that's it.
Can you say... so what's at in French? Or Spanish?
It's at...
Wait, which one are you talking about?
Spanish. Fin de semana is Spanish.
Oh, so what?
And I know tout le monde is...
what does that mean?
Everyone in French.
Oh. Can you say weekend at Bernie's in French?
Weekend at Bernie's.
No, I can say... Very good. I can say fin de semana a Bernie's. But that would be Spanish.
I love when you hear, like, people that speak a different language, that's their native language. And then when they say stuff like that, whether it's like something specific in another language, and Bernie's. Like,
yeah.
Barack Obama.
I think they could be saying something very nice about him, but it really sounds kind of insidious.
Yeah.
Barack Obama. So yeah, was it... Never Too Young to Die, the name
Never
of it?
Never Too Young to Die.
Never Too Young to Die.
Gosh. And so, Vanity, I don't know much about Prince. Was she one of his wives, or is she still?
Prince had a thing where he just... Well, Prince was a weirdo. We can all. He died earlier on today. I don't know if you've been keeping up with Twitter.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Assassinated, felled by a sniper's bullet.
I just wait for Gawker to tell me about the seven biggest tweets I missed today.
Yeah, there's already conspiracies.
I love those recaps. Like, it just makes me angry.
The seven celebrity tweets you probably didn't read today.
Oh my god.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Oh man. I hate the internet.
Sounds great.
Gawker, I think. Yeah, why? And yet I click it maybe 20% of the time.
But anyways, before Prince was taken out by the CIA, in the 80s, and in some of the 90s, he would always have, like, hot ladies that he was, having relations at the time, and he'd be like, I'll also let you do a song. And then they'd be, like, his protégés for 18 months maximum.
Yeah, I think Sheena I remember something about that.
Was one of them? You remember who? Sheena E.? She played the drums.
What's she from? Anything?
Was she from Prince? Band or something? I think she did her own thing after Prince, but she was with Prince, and then Vanity was after Sheena E., and then there was some other ladies.
Yeah.
And there was two of them at one point.
She was a protege too? The
Vanity. Yeah. Vanity he had probably like five or six of them.
As what? What did she do?
She was hot, and she kind of sang.
She would hang out with him, have sex with him, I assume.
She'd be in videos, and she was in Purple Rain.
With him.
Was she in Purple Rain?
Yeah, she's the one in Purple Rain.
She was the,
No, that's, that is...
No. Oh, that's Apollonia.
Apollonia.
That's another Apollonia.
So, like I said, there's like seven of them.
Yeah, I thought she was in Purple... No, you're right,
He gave these names to them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would name them.
Was telling us, and I haven't confirmed this, but apparently he was going to call Vanity Vagina.
Well, that's why I brought that up, because they said that in the thing, and I was like, show. What?
She's not the type to just make something like that up, so... And that's also... Totally a thing that Prince would do.
Yeah.
Your name's gonna be Vagina. And that was like the one thing that
it really unsettles me how like most girls find him really hot. And I'm just
he's a singer. He's a famous singer.
But
what are you gonna do?
He's like he's a sexual supervillain. Like you could put him in a Batman movie and not change a thing.
And you could play Bat Dance.
In what?
From Batman, the Prince has music in the first Batman, the Tim Burton's Batman. You ever heard Bat Dance?
Which one was it in? What number?
The first one, Tim Burton's first Batman movie.
Okay.
How old are you?
Was it any good?
You're super young, aren't you?
No, but...
You've seen Bat...
I don't check out the soundtracks to movies very much.
It was a pretty popular movie.
But the soundtrack, like I don't check out the...
It was a huge hit.
I'm not listening, and I'm like, is this the...
Bat Dance! There's a part in the movie...
Go with a smile.
There's a part in the movie where Jack Nicholson goes into an art gallery with his gang, and he spray paints all over it. Then they have the one guy's carrying a boombox playing Prince. It's not Bat Dance, but it's Prince. There's several Prince songs in the movie.
I can see it. I'm going to have to look that up.
You should probably exit this podcast on Bat Dance, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'll see if I can download that. And just
obviously,
put that.
It's honestly one of the worst songs of all time.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like...
We're filling a hole in your pop culture
it's a big hole, too. Like,
big gaping.
You've seen Shaun of the Dead, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that part in Shaun of the Dead, there's a great, because they're throwing the records, and he's like, they're going through the records to throw the zombies, and he's like, no, that's for that one, and they go, Batman soundtrack, and he goes, oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's awful.
Because it's randomly considered something that was like super popular at the time, but is like, lost its any kind of prestige, it's like that kind of thing where you go, oh, I have the Batman soundtrack, and you just sort of throw it away, set the garbage on fire, oh god. Danny Elfman's sound music is very good.
Sure. The only soundtracks I've ever listened to are Good Will Hunting and Nightmare Before Christmas.
All I listened to was soundtracks.
Well, yeah, because I loved Elliot Smith and Nightmare Before Christmas. Love that movie. And
Elliot Smith, both of those movies, right?
Yeah, Elliot Smith did all the music and vocals for Nightmare Before Christmas. Most people don't know. He loved Halloween.
Yeah. Elliot Smith is...
He was a festive guy.
A lot of people don't know that most of that movie is stop motion animated, but the character of Jack Skellington is just Elliot Smith.
It's Elliot Smith.
That's what he looks
like.
That's what he looks like when you photograph him on film.
What?
Yeah. He looks like Jack Skellington.
Elliot Smith, by the way, is still alive.
Yeah,
so that's another thing.
He's the new Prince.
Prince is dead, Elliot Smith's still alive.
Elliot Smith's replaced him.
Another fact is actually when they were doing repairs in the Statue of Liberty... Elliot Smith actually stood in as the Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
Well, he was amorphous.
It was 78 to 80, I think.
Yeah. He's very tall. People don't know. A lot of people don't know that about Elliot Smith. Is that
and patient, yes.
He's just like,
he's still alive, very patient, and 80 feet tall.
Yeah. He's a Reagan and a Kennedy also. Yeah. So he's got a pretty good bloodline.
Oscar winner too. Oh wait, no, we all knew that.
That's actually
yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's true. We knew.
Yeah. Sorry.
Let's not sully the truth with our lies.
Yeah, come on.
I'm sorry.
Anyone won an Oscar? No. Or Emmy.
Both?
They won an Academy.
I don't know why.
You don't win an Emmy yeah. for movies. So. Emmys
well,
are for TV.
He might have done the song for Friends or something like that.
Oh, he did. Who knows? Elliot Smith did the Friends theme song and the theme song for Cheers.
Elliot Smith was a drummer in the Rembrandts.
He had the most amazing life. He did.
You've
all
never heard
things.
Bat Dance, but you know the name of the band that did the Friends theme song?
I don't.
This is
really
all very disappointing.
That
to
really
me.
Doesn't seem like something to be like shocked over.
I'm just. I don't know. I guess not. But
wait a minute.
Kevin let's... likes to be shocked, though. So I mean,
I'm just
constantly
I'm not
has the
shocked. I'm disappointed.
Kevin is fanning himself right now with his hand.
I just cannot.
Yeah.
Just
well,
he's unbuttoning his blouse.
Need a minute.
I did have to take a sick day today because of the vapors.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer you guys don't make fun of me for it. It's a serious condition.
Well, you might get the vapors if we keep making fun
don't
of you.
Don't ever go to the south. You might pick up the vapors and it doesn't go away for fucking years.
Let me know if you get hysteria because I have a surefire fix for that too.
Yeah. Anytime there's a polecat around, he usually gets the vapors.
A polecat?
Yeah.
Now I'm lost.
That is just southern things. I don't even
know. Polecats are skunks, by the way.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, there you go.
I didn't know that.
I haven't been to the south.
Or it's some sort of racial
race.
Slur.
Well, I was going to say.
It's probably a skunk and a racial slur. Because I can't imagine that it's not
no,
both.
No, it's just a thing that, all I remember is the thing that Yosemite Sam called people all the time.
I'm pretty sure,
that was a polecat.
Polecats are skunks, I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Skunk is a way better word for it, though, by the way. The south.
Well, polecat sounds like it probably came from something racist. Somehow, somewhere, the South can do these things.
Everything that they say in the South is racist, one way or another. Yeah. Even if they offer you a glass of lemonade on the porch, like, that has racist undertones.
Doesn't matter if they just wink at you, then you're like, fucking racist.
God,
but
damn
it's
racist.
It's also friendly there. It's so
well,
sunny.
It's the kind of friendly before they, you know,
no, I know, but they're
all
like,
things.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? You're like, fine. All right, I'm going to cut your testicles off. Sam, going to be okay? All right.
Exactly.
Settle down a little.
Exactly. We talked about this on the podcast a while back, too. Because, yeah, they're very friendly up until a very specific point.
Yeah.
Which is a little disturbing.
The
so
part where
little...
they cut off your testicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or
I don't care for that part.
The hill folk, I mean, I'm just talking about being, if you're in a city in the south and there's regular people around, hill folk, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
That's like...
They're not polite at all, ever, right?
No, I don't think they talk, or if they do, it's some sort of gibberish.
All they can say is...
They just murder you and rip Ned Beatty. That's all I know about hill folk.
Yeah,
that got
in accordance with the law.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny... When I first...
It was funny. It's a funny movie.
Funny stuff.
Well, I thought it was funny that when I finally got around to seeing it, and then after, you know, how disturbing this movie was, like, when it first came out, and I don't know if it's just from being desensitized to things, but, like, that scene to me was kind of funny. Because it was just kind of silly. Like...
The dude's raping that guy?
Yeah, like, there's no music, and, like, it's not even shot up close. Like, he's kind of midway off.
Yeah, I think they
there's
did
no
that on
sound
purpose.
Except for just like, hey, piggy, piggy, blah, 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 and the guy's just kind of like writhing around.
I don't know. This says more about you, I think, than the movie.
It might. it just might.
You know what? This is funny stuff. Funny stuff. There, <I'm joking>.
Well, look at that.
Look at that.
He's squealing like a pig.
He's getting raped by those guys. Oh, Ned Beatty.
Well, let's take a short break to, how about here, a word from our sponsor, Super Mega Prostate.
Are you tired of having a timid, ladylike prostate? Try Super Mega Prostate and push your prostate to the max.
2 months ago, my prostate was totally lame. I hated it. But now, it's one of my all-time favorite glands.
Before Super Mega Prostate, I had a limp, lifeless urine stream. Now, I can piss chip gum off the sidewalk. Thanks, Super Mega Prostate.
Super Mega Prostate is made from an all-natural, organic combination of experimental chemicals and horse race enhancers to squeeze the peak performance out of your juice blaster. So what in God's name are you waiting for?
My urine stream is strong enough to break the pull of Earth's gravity, and it does, at least 3 times a day.
I don't even use a remote control anymore. Now I change channel with my urine stream.
Free yourself from the prison of prostate mediocrity. With Super Mega Prostate, you'll soon join the big leagues of pee.
I can suspend a grand piano 16 feet above the ground for nearly 40 seconds with my urine stream. That's how I won my Tony Award.
I carved a Thanksgiving turkey with my urine stream this year.
Order Super Mega Prostate today, and with some amount of time, you will receive 200 suppository capsules, a tube of urethra coolant, a penile silencer, a laser scope, and 4 pairs of goggles for you and your family.
I performed an emergency appendectomy on my niece using my urine stream. Everyone at the grocery store was like, what's your secret? I'll never tell.
I cut a man in half with my urine stream, and I'm afraid I'll do it again.
I carved a picture of my wife's tits on the moon, all thanks to Super Mega Prostate.
My prostate and I are getting married next spring. Thanks, Obama, and thank you, Super Mega Prostate.
Super Mega Prostate, make your prostate your bitch.
And we're back. So I've got some listener letters. We do this sometimes. People write in asking questions, perhaps for some advice. So I got two right here. First one is from Tiger Penis in Kenya, 3 years old. Hi, BWD. While I do pride myself on getting the job done, can you tell people that eating me won't give them a better erection? Why are people always eating weird parts of exotic animals? They tried dog hair first, or maybe some goddamn Viagra? I'm really frustrated over here. What do you think?
Well,
this is from a tiger penis.
This is from a tiger penis, 3 years old, Kenya.
Yeah.
Well, the tiger penis is, if we can be blunt here with the tiger penis, the best he can hope for is to be, get his shit broken off in a tiger lady's vagina, because they have barbed penises that rip off in the... Well, am I thinking of a different animal?
It's only the barbs. It's just barbs the barbs come off?
Apparently they just rip right off.
The penis rips off?
Yeah.
No.
I could be thinking of something else.
A penis does not rip off.
So what is the barb for? It just keeps them hooked in there?
Yeah.
I've never understood that.
The barbs gets the job
done. I've never really wanted to invent... You have a cat right behind you right now. We can probably find out.
I like that. The barbs get the job done.
The barbs get the... Well, I think, yeah,
with
the idea
super
is...
mega prostate.
All right, so advice to the tiger. Okay, assuming that it doesn't break off inside the
but yeah,
tiger.
But dogs...
I'm pretty sure the penis did literally...
Well,
I
regrow.
Think that's something that we would have
like
all heard.
Like a chameleon tail, it might regrow or something like that.
That's what mine does. Doesn't yours?
So, well, why...
We all have barbs on
mine
our penises,
mine just breaks
right?
off inside.
Yeah, you just break it off inside, and you know, that's what it's supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
I've done my job.
As you pass out bleeding.
And you rub one out.
Yeah,
well,
definitely.
It's not... Yeah, yeah. Sex is beautiful, okay?
Well, geez, I don't know.
In regards to the eating exotic foods, well, I'm sorry, tiger penis, but I might not be of much help on this one, but because I'm going to totally eat a tiger penis if someone offered me one.
Really?
But would you eat it solely because it would give you
a better erection or
penis powers?
No.
Just because it's meat.
You're like, can't be better.
I don't
it's
care.
Even
worse.
Kinda.
It's no improving this
so
one.
Someone would be like, here, try this tiger penis. You know that has erection powers, and I'd already have it in
you
my
already?
Mouth. I'd be like, oh, okay, well, that's cool, too. I just want to eat that, you know.
You'd already have that tiger
everything.
Penis in your mouth.
I'd have that tiger penis right in my
Travis
mouth.
Vote.
Can I also...
1978 to 2013.
Yeah.
He already had the tiger penis
the
in
tiger.
His mouth.
Can I also say that even if the penis was still attached to the tiger, it would be rude go right in my mouth.
Yeah.
Because... Uh-huh. How many of us could say we blew a tiger?
You couldn't be the first to die that way.
If it's still barbed, even if it was barbed, you know what? I'd take it. I'd take the pain.
Even if you were some, whatever that equivalent in Africa is of a dumb hick that is going to go suck off a tiger, that would be embarrassing, is to then get your face stuck on its dick because the barbs are in your mouth.
Just getting dragged around by the tiger for
yeah, you see the tiger running and then, ah, oh, fuck, there's the Kembe.
That's
fucking...
one of those guys that he tried to suck the tiger's dick, and that's what happens.
The tiger didn't eat you, and the tiger just drags you around
the thing
savannah
is, I'd be like,
or wherever.
I'd have my thumbs up the whole time. I'd be like, no regrets.
This is great.
This is pretty sweet.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't regret something.
The tiger is a magnificent animal.
That's kind of like getting a tattoo. Like, no turning back after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think sucking a tiger's dick is a lot like getting a tattoo. But by the way, I have a tattoo of myself sucking a tiger's dick.
Right, sure. Where
so,
is it?
It's on my dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a bright
idea. In the inside of my mouth.
I had a bright idea to get a...
the tiger sucking your dick.
The tiger's sucking my
on
dick.
On the tattoo of you sucking a tiger's dick on your dick.
Well, I was going to say that's the way to save face. Is to get a tattoo of the tiger sucking your dick.
Yeah, take that, tiger.
No, fuck you, tiger.
So it's more like a tiger man 69, really.
You would think that the tiger would just start eating your penis, but tigers are into it. They're kind of like,
super
they're sensual
it, yeah.
creatures, so like you put your dick in a tiger's
from
mouth.
From what I've heard, from what you just said, yeah,
you get right
true.
Into it.
They like water.
They like giving people pleasure. They like protein.
Yeah, tigers.
Yeah,
people know,
we're
yeah,
talking about
tigers,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
Sensual,
the
sexual
tigers,
creatures.
Sexual creatures. Sensual. Whatever other words there.
But, yeah, in regards to his semi-question and frustration, I don't understand it either. My only... I'd say my solution is, coordinate and just try to, breed a lot more. If you can get so many tigers that you are not exotic anymore, they're going to go to another one. They're going to go to whatever is exotic in that season.
What are their...
Yeah, in all sincerity, I do wish that... I do think that tigers should breed more and figure it out, because I wish that there was just a shitload of them, right?
Yeah.
Because they're rare. You know, a lot of them are going extinct.
What if there were tigers?
Tigers were like... Yeah, or like rats. There was just a billion of them in America alone.
Wouldn't that be terrifying?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be good.
I think it would, but I think it would make rally us all closer to each other, and there'd be magnificent tigers kind of swarming around the outskirts of our cities.
It would make us stronger. Natural selection.
Oh yeah. Oh hell yeah.
All the fat people gone. Well, I mean,
and crippled people, unless you're rich and fat.
Right.
Because then you can afford, you know, a giant tiger sanctuary.
People would
for
probably
yourself, you know, sure tigers.
Rolling right. around in their protective like hamster ball tiger. You know,
tiger cages.
I think you would have to go around in some sort of steel, see-through. What do they call that in Star Trek 4? Transparent aluminum ball.
That's transparent how you aluminum. Transparent
is that what they call it in Star Trek 4? That's the sci-fi name.
That's what they call it.
What is this futuristic material?
Oh, that's transparent aluminum.
That's what they capture the whales in.
That's what they capture the whales in.
Yeah, okay.
And so you'd have to go around in a little squirrel ball. Sorry, hamster ball. Nobody has squirrels.
You can go on.
Keep the tigers.
I mean,
you could try. Squirrels are ornery, but we just moved from tigers to squirrels.
Yeah.
My cat's hacking something up. She does that. I think that's the solution.
Yeah.
They're always looking for, you know, like ground up rhino horn and inject it into your eyeball or something. It's just whatever.
So eat that.
Become not endangered.
Yeah. Good luck, tiger penis.
Tiger, right.
Good luck, tiger. Yeah, I don't know.
Good luck, tiger penis.
There's even fewer tiger penises than there are tigers.
That is actually true.
Yeah.
They're more endangered than tigers.
Yeah. I'm rooting against him, though, because I would like to try that tiger penis someday. And if I get an erection, as a side note, then that's fine.
From filleting a tiger?
Or just eating its penis.
I don't see how you couldn't not get one.
Yeah, that's true.
It just gives you a better erection, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You'd have to think unsexy thoughts not to get a boner while you're a blonde tiger, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Wouldn't you? I
like
that, like, nerve.
Wouldn't you? Think about it, guys.
All right. Here's our second letter. This is from a bonobo in the Congo, 4 years old. Hi, BWD. Last Sunday, my family and I were having an orgy, but I got the feeling they wanted a bit more, and I'm not sure I'm ready for a commitment. How do I let them down easy?
Well, this is, like, is missing a lot of specifics. First of all, like, what was he doing in the orgy? You know, like what didn't he bring to the table that they want more of?
More than an orgy.
I mean, I like we were having an orgy, but he doesn't say. It sounds like his family was disappointed. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, he's feeling like they want more commitment. They want something a little heavier than he's looking to get into.
An orgy is about as far as you can go.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get tied down, is what I'm reading.
Okay, I don't know.
He was just having some fun.
I assumed he wasn't doing his share, I don't know, I mean.
His share of the
orgy. I've been in a lot of orgies before, and really, you can't get more than that. Like, they're pretty much...
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's not like a snuff orgy or something.
If that's what they want, then I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like as far as you can
go. That's their problem.
That's quite the commitment to make, though, because, you know, there's a lot of awful things happening at that point.
Well, the bonobos are known for their promiscuousness and just pretty much fucking everyone all the time.
It's a 24-hour fuck fest all the time.
Pretty much.
I didn't know that.
Until they die at the age of...
It's like the Caligulas of...
They're like the Caligulas of monkeys.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many people don't know about them. Yeah, they're chimps, and they're kind of unique because they don't really have like any aggressive tendencies. Instead of aggression, they just fuck.
They fuck it all out.
And they do oral 69. They do all sorts of fucked up
they
shit.
They do 69
with their family, with everybody.
They're the only other species that's 69.
I think so. I've seen pictures. I'm not making that
that's
up.
I saw that in an Attenborough special. The bonobos are the only other species that 69s each other. They also scissor each other.
I like how that's like some. That's always like the bar for 69. trying to make an animal like seem more than it is. Is they're like they're the only other species that.
I think that might actually make you want to save a species. If you were 69. Like these bonobos are going extinct, you'd be like, I don't care. You'd be like, no, they 69 each other. You'd be like, oh shit, we gotta do something.
I want to.
Oh, they're well, like people. Hey. Little advice to our first caller.
69
there.
Each other.
Tiger penises. Start 69ing each
other.
Oh,
yeah, and eat those tiger penises.
Humans are going to want you to...
I think a giant plate full of tiger penises.
That's going to keep people from harvesting their penises?
Once there's more of them, yeah.
Are we talking about tigers?
You can't get pregnant at 69.
I'm just saying people will want to save the tigers more if they're 69. That's what we're talking about, right?
I feel like that's only going to make them think that it's going to give them a better erection if they're like, this guy's fucking 69 all day.
That's true. I want to eat more tiger penises.
I want to eat more tiger penis.
I think I have a plan. So we get the tigers to 69 each other and fuck each other a bunch more.
Yeah.
And then that means more tigers. That means more tiger penises. Cut those tiger penises off. Serve them up to the bonobo orgy. And then everyone is going to feel pretty generous after all that. Well, everyone's going to have a lot more to give.
I was going to say the bonobos, you could use them as a kind of visual little spice for the tigers to maybe make more tigers.
Also, I was thinking, since those guys are orgying all the time, there's probably a lot of them. So you could just feed them the tigers.
That's true. I don't think bonobos are going extinct. I could be wrong, but
that's a good question, though. I'm curious.
I don't know that this helps answer our.
No,
our,
we're not really addressing that right now. But you bring up a good point. I've never checked. Like, do they breed like rabbits? Like, because they're fucking all the time.
Right.
So or do they have birth control? Do they? Is there some sort of berry that they eat that gives,
they
that
actually
gives
use,
them birth control?
They use tiger penis.
They actually go into town and get
they get plan
and
plan
get
B
plan, and plan B or something like that.
People, you can buy, it's like when they're in the zoos, there's just like a little candy machine, you put a quarter in, there's birth control, you just throw it at them like food.
Are those
in the zoo, you give birth control.
Are those the same monkeys that I saw on the YouTube video getting drunk at the...
No, those are like macaques, the little ones.
Oh, that's right, those are macaques.
Those are macaques,
bonobos
idiot.
Are mid-sized monkeys.
Oh, sorry.
You idiot, those are macaques.
You fool!
You philistine.
But those drunk monkeys are... Actually, even funnier than the fucking monkeys. The fuck monkeys. You got the fuck monkeys, you got the drunk monkeys.
Let me break it down for you.
I'm gonna break it down. You got fuck monkeys, you got drunk monkeys. You got monkeys that break your skull with 2 stone tablets, a la Congo. You got the razorbacks. You got your...
You got the ones that are too smart for their own damn good. I'm gonna try to wipe you out.
You got the ones we evolve from.
Statue
that I don't believe
in.
The ones that we evolve into.
The ones that we evolve into someday. And that's it. That's it. There's 7 kinds of monkeys, or however many are listed. That's it.
Yeah. Like, that is it.
We are done.
You got 7
monkeys.
Kinds, and don't be talking about no other kinds. So you only got 7.
There are 7 kinds of monkeys. I'm in discussion. Yeah. I'm not hearing anything more.
It's almost like a George Bush, like...
Yeah. He said that in one of his addresses, I believe.
There's only seven kinds of monkies,
and I don't want to hear anything else about it.
I don't really have it.
That law didn't get past Congress, though.
No.
But,
So what he wants? They want more of a.
Wants to know how to let them down easy. He doesn't want to make it awkward.
I think he's just got to run away. I mean, that seems like the only solution. He's gonna have to keep orgying,
just
which it seems like he's not really cool with.
I'm pretty sure that's just a part of his culture. That's like if you grow up in the South or something like that, and you don't want to join the KKK, it's like tough shit. You better just move to Chicago or something like
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're gonna
have to slightly more enlightened place like Chicago.
Exactly.
What? Maybe it's just his family that's a little clingy. What if he went orgied with? Yeah, that is true.
Well, I think that would be harder for his family to.
That'd be rude, probably.
That'd be rude. Also, if he just without saying anything left. First of all, he should sit down. They need to talk about it. I mean, communication is key.
They're just like sucking each other off, and they're like, "Hey, is that Chi-Chi over there, motherfucker?"
They communicate by fucking.
Motherfucker, right?
Yeah. Motherfucker, he's fucking that mother.
He's fucking that mother. Not his own mother.
Just run away to a completely. You're gonna have to run away.
He can't run away to another.
He's
family
gonna have to
either, because I'm pretty sure that other family would just eat.
No, I mean he's just gonna have to leave to. It sounds like he doesn't even like doing the orgies anymore. You know, it seems like they want more of a commitment, and he's like, he's had it with the orgy scene. So
he might have just lost his way.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
I think, I'm going to say, I think you need to go off on your own, do a little spirit quest, and really just find yourself again. Find the bonobo in the bonobo.
I just think he's wrong. Yeah, he needs...
he's wrong,
sometimes
too.
Advice is saying that a person is wrong.
Yeah.
You know what? You got to get out on that fuck party. That's what you are.
Just be who you are.
Right. We're people.
Don't fight
We're
who you are.
We're human beings. We hate sex. We hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monk, you're a bonobo. You gotta just go fucking crazy.
I hate it. That's why I don't do it.
That's why,
it's the worst.
All humans hate sex.
That's why I'm not having sex.
That's why our numbers are dwindling at such a dramatic rate. Yeah. That's why we're such an unsuccessful species.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh, I gotta do this again?
That's why.
It better be for procreation. That's what I say whenever I'm about to have sex.
Don't worry.
We better be having
faulty.
A baby.
So once every 6 years?
Yeah, and then they go, put this condom on. I'm like, okay.
What is that? Something in my head, once every 6 years. I'm I've been thinking of Zoidberg. There, that remember the episode? With the mating,
yeah,
it's
kind of based on the Klingon or Vulcan. Yeah, the Vulcan thing, which that thing was based on Spock in Star Trek.
They only mate like every six
something
or
like
something?
That, six or nine or something like that.
God, very 69. Logical.
What a lame species.
It's the logical thing. Actually, that's not logical at all.
No,
it's
not
stupid.
Logical.
I'm glad their planet was destroyed in the most recent Star Trek movie. Spoiler
alert. Oh, too soon.
Killing Winona Ryder along with it.
Killing Winona Ryder.
Who's in it for that movie for some reason.
Yeah, Spock, baby. You my favorites. She doesn't have a southern accent.
Why is it? Why is
I don't
that?
Know. I thought it would be good.
Hey, y'all. Did. I'm Winona Ryder.
Woo! I'm a Vulcan, all right?
What are you, deaf?
Are you deaf? I'm a Vulcan.
Vulcan.
Can you hear the words coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, I wish they were dead. I hope they burn in hell.
I hope they burn in hell. Winona Ryder.
Thank you.
New Star Trek movie.
All right, let's jump into Waggle Piece Theater here.
Okay.
So
jump right in.
Let's just jump in. Let's just get in there. And just mix stuff up.
Balls deep in this.
Root around in there.
So the title of this Waggle Piece Theater is 31,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The scene is not surprisingly 31,000 Leagues Under the Sea, in a nuclear submarine privately commissioned by Coriander von Khrushchev, international playboy and billionaire. Coriander stares out a porthole, admiring the nightmarish deep sea as his hired mates, Officer Tacklebox and Petty Officer Cabernet, work furiously to keep the submarine running. My God! I'd heard 20, even 30,000 leagues under the sea were something to see, but 31,000 leagues under the sea? Spectacular. Tacklebox! Have you seen anything like this? Right now I'm watching two anglerfish fuck, and let me tell you, it's not a pretty sight.
No, sir, I'm afraid I haven't. Cabernet and I are a little busy keeping this death trap afloat underwater because it is a submarine.
Well, goddammit, man! What's the use of being an international playboy billionaire if I can't build my own private nuclear submarine to dink around or underwater with?
I'm sure I don't know, sir. I told you when you hired Cabernet and I that you need at least 12 officers on board just to run this damn thing.
Well, I sure as hell didn't hear you complaining when I paid you both in gold-plated Stegosaurus skulls.
Indeed, sir. We were fools to ever accept this mission, regardless of how big a payoff it had. What use in God's green earth does the dead man have for gold-plated dinosaur heads? I tell you, very little.
Oh, oh, Tacklebox. That's why I hired you on as captain of this vessel. You should have been on Broadway, you dramatic little seaman, you. Oh, God!
No!
Dear God, man, what's happening? Where's Cabernet?
Right here, sir.
Cabernet, report.
Sir, I am afraid we're in a bit of a pickle. I've been in the engine room trying to tame this rusty old mare, but she finally threw me from the saddle for good. We're dead in the water.
My God, I was afraid this would happen.
Yes, sir, I'm afraid we're completely out of fuel.
What in bloody hell are you talking about, officer? This is an atomic sub.
Yes, sir, but per your build specifications, the nuclear power is used exclusively to keep the shower pressure high and running piping hot at all times. The engine runs off diesel, and I'm afraid we've used all the fuel we brought in. We've nowhere to return to the surface.
Ugh, I was afraid of this. God damn you, Coriander. You killed us all.
Well, goddammit, I'm not a caveman, Tacklebox. I've climbed the Himalayas and danced with the bloodthirsty Tasmanian devils of Guinea, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to start my day off without a hot shower.
Well, I hope you're happy. Your petty luxuries have made dead men of us all.
Psha! There's no use whining about such things now. What are our options?
We have none, sir. We simply wait until 1 million square feet of water pressure slowly crushes this vessel like a cheap beer under the woman's gigantic teat.
Oh, God! Oh, God, I've got a family. I can't die like this.
Get a hold of yourself. We've only got one option now. Cannibalism. We'll eat Cabernet first.
Huh?
Sir, we've had plenty of provisions let's say it again. Sir, we have plenty of provisions to last us at least a couple weeks.
Oh, you're always a Debbie Downer, Tacklebox. Fine. But I tell you, if I have to eat one more can of imported Tuscan caviar, I'm going to get pretty sore. Now, Cabernet, you say you've got a family? I assume you play the father's role in that setup, correct?
Yes, of course, sir.
Fine. Well, for all intents and purposes, your family is dead to you. So I shall play the mother's role. Tacklebox, you are now our child and are effectively... and effectively immediately, you are grounded for fucking this mission up.
You gotta be joking.
Do what your mother says, Tacklebox.
Aw, this is some bullshit. I'm going to my quarters.
And don't you come out for dinner, because you're not getting any. Maybe that'll help this valuable lesson sink in a bit.
I hate you both.
I just don't know what we're gonna do with that child.
I know, dear, I know. Don't worry, this is all part of growing up. We've got a good kid in there.
Oh, you're right, dear. But you know how I worry. Do you think we should sign him up for polo lessons, or...
Attention, vessel! This is the Coast Guard. We have received your distress signal and will be sending down help shortly. Please stay calm.
Oh, my.
Tyr, what do we do?
Darling, I think we're both thinking the same thing. Go ahead.
Oh, Cabernet, I swear. I love you more each day. Attention, Coast Guard. Please disregard that distress signal. We've got everything we need down here. End scene.
Aww. It's actually quite touching.
We did that all right.
They found an unconventional family, like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's what I, when I wrote that, that's what I was kind of going
for. You were mostly thinking about Boogie Nights?
Magnolia.
I just watched Magnolia. It was first 60% was good.
Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights.
Well, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
It, no.
You will not hear anything bad about Boogie Nights from either of us.
I was just talking to someone else who didn't like that movie.
Yeah.
I liked it, but the last, like, third is just a real, like...
That was Ben, so never mind.
It doesn't count.
That idiot Ben.
It doesn't count. Sorry.
Ben is,
You don't want to know.
We don't need a Philistine.
Yeah, we'll put it that way. The less said about Ben, the better. That almost sounds like someone we have locked in a basement or something like that.
Right. Oh, we don't.
Well, he's not a person anymore, is he?
Good times.
So what else is going on, guys?
What?
What are you guys going for the weekend?
Oh, man. Actually, we have another animatic cinematic thing this weekend.
Sunday.
At the White Rabbit. Sunday, we're doing a marathon of the Leprechaun movies.
That is correct.
Not all three, as some people have said. All three Leprechaun movies.
There's like 100 of them.
There's six of them, I think. But we're doing Leprechaun.
With Jennifer Aniston.
Leprechaun 4 in Space, which is the best one. And Leprechaun in the Hood.
With Jennifer Aniston.
With Ice Cube.
Oh, Ice Cube.
Ice-T is in them. So we're doing that, and similar to our other thing, we're not going to do a podcast for each one, but we're going to be recording some stuff, hanging out there all day, drinking. It should be a fun time. St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
All day.
Is this going to be up before then?
Probably.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, that's what we have coming up.
Will have happened by the time you're listening.
Yeah. Well, right.
So,
if you're hearing this now, you don't know what you missed out on.
This may be...
Poor bastards.
This may be post-mortem talking right now to you, depending on how Sunday goes.
It's going to be some sort of clusterfuck, awesome or otherwise. I think it's just going to be awesome.
I can't see how it'll go entirely fubar. I would think, of all places, Fremont on St. Paddy's is going to be a shit show. So I'd imagine you get kind of probably a lot of people in there.
Yeah.
People that don't know what's coming, though,
they're not going to be very, very stoked, I wouldn't imagine.
But they might be.
I think they would, because they want to do something semi-related to St. Paddy's, and they're like, fucking Leprechaun, man, yeah, this shit's awesome.
But if they're just shouting that the whole time,
and then they'll go rape their girlfriend afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to commit rape.
Yeah, wow.
That's what people say.
Commit it.
I guess we'll find out Sunday.
Commit the act of rape.
I'm going to commit, right, the commit, yeah. Baby.
Wow, weird.
Yeah.
And then we got that every second Tuesday of every month, and we perform it Weird and Awesome with Emmett Montgomery at the Annex Theater
for Sunday
of every month.
Yeah, I've seen that once. It was good. I haven't made it up just because it's usually Sunday night. It's a little problematic. I don't find myself on the hill on those that time of day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you can do.
Could you guys fix that, or?
No.
I don't think so.
Could you guys make that more convenient for my schedule?
I could say that I'll look into it, but I'm not even going to do that. I'm not even going to say I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
These words are coming out of my mouth. I'm not even thinking
about them.
It's not up to us anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I love being on shows that aren't my show. It's the best.
Yeah.
Have they been going good? The one I saw was pretty good.
Both of those shows I'm pretty stoked about.
Well, the Weird and Awesome specifically.
Oh, that's a great show.
Do you get a lot of people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost always a packed house.
Wow.
At the Annex.
Yep.
Which I think seats something like 80 people, something like that.
Probably around that, maybe more, I don't know.
I'm not Rain Man, so.
Yeah, I know.
Only Rain Man would actually know how many people are in a place.
Quick, how many forks are in my drawer?
802.
Wow. Without even looking.
That is like crazy.
Is that true,
way
though?
Over the
yeah,
number.
It's not.
Forks.
No,
it's
right?
Not even close.
It's like six.
802 would be like a closet.
You'd
have to have a whole closet.
I'm the opposite of Rain Man.
Yeah. Which is wrong.
Terrible at math.
But do you know how much a candy bar costs?
No.
Wow, not even that.
$5? Some candy bars,
maybe. Closer than Rain Man was.
They're depressingly expensive these days. Like a king-size Snicker is going to run you, like, almost $2.
Good Jesus God. Christ.
Which is, like, I'll pay a dollar for some stupid candy bar if I'm, like, in the mood for a candy bar, which I'm not usually. But when I actually am, like, fuck it, I'm just going to get it.
Get a candy bar,
drink some beer and watch a movie. Then it's, like, it's like $2, and I'm, like, well, ugh, now this is depressing. Just bought this fucking thing. And then $2.
Just let that candy bar ruin your day, man? Come on. Don't let that candy bar ruin
your day.
Well,
it's like, not only am I eating this horrible stuff, but I'm paying too much for it.
Yeah. Well.
I should just go eat a bag of sugar.
You could just eat a bag of sugar. Sugar's not that cheap either, though, I'm saying. It comes from
not the good stuff.
They have to ship it over from Hawaii or like a Jamaica or whatever.
Jamaica. I think so.
What you need is just a giant thing of corn syrup. That's pretty cheap. You could probably get a big bottle of that for $3.99, and then just chug on that whenever
just drink that.
Just bathe in it and let it soak into my skin.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
Baby, it tastes sweet.
It could be just you and the hummingbirds, it's man. Because hummingbirds are gonna come in and start, you know, eating it off of your face.
Oh, ants too.
You just hear a light knock at the door. There's a thousand ants and a thousand hummingbirds, and then
hummingbirds.
We're here for the corn syrup. In my fantasies, by the way, the ants are riding the hummingbirds too. They have like little saddles.
Are they whipping them?
Oh hell yeah, they're whipping the shit out of the hummingbirds.
How many ants could you fit? How many ants fit on a hummingbird? You think?
It's a lot like
802.
It's a lot like Dune, you know, when those guys ride the sandworms in Dune.
Yeah.
So probably like 15.
Yeah.
15 ants per hummingbird.
Okay.
And they just sort of ride them around. And attack you with them.
Yeah. Okay. It seems like the comparison would be more like them riding like ants riding slugs, like the guys riding the. But yeah, that makes sense.
Hummingbirds are way faster than those worms. Yeah.
Right. A lot of those ants are gonna fall off.
Ants riding slugs. I don't want to see that. Cause that's gonna be boring. Slugs are like okay. That slug is boring. Oh no, there's a bunch of ants riding.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it'll
for
be
a
boring.
Second.
It'll be boring like the parts.
They'd be whipping that slug.
Actually,
but it's not gonna go any faster. So then
those
you just
are some
feel
of the,
bad.
Yeah, I'm just saying them. The comparison to Dune reminds me of them riding slugs. Because that part of Dune actually isn't boring or confusing when they're riding the monster sandworms. The rest of the movie is, but yeah, that part isn't. So.
I'm not going to disagree with any of that.
Still not like them riding hummingbirds, though. Not quite.
That would be fantastic. That's going to be a good movie. We're going to get together with... Who was it that directed the 300? Zack Snyder? We're going to make the movie with Zack Snyder.
300?
Ants riding hummingbirds.
Ants
riding
hummingbirds. Zack Snyder?
Who's that?
Hey, Zack Snyder, you want to direct this movie? I got this pitch for you. It's Ants Riding Hummingbirds. Okay, I'm sold. I'll do it.
Is that what he sounds like?
No, I don't know.
Oh, that's probably what he sounds like.
Oh, I'm sure, guys. Oh, just don't hit me.
And then he makes our movie.
Okay.
I was thinking more like the Transformers guy.
Michael Bay
could do it pretty good.
You wouldn't be able to tell.
The whole time you'd be totally confused between which ones were the birds and which ones were the ants and which ones were the hummingbirds.
What are they fighting, by the way?
Robots.
Good question.
Cool. it's just robots?
It's Transformers 4, which I think they should call
Transformers v. Ants Riding Hummingbirds, Transformers 4.
Which I think they should just call Transformers.
Well, they're gonna do that, right?
They haven't done it yet, and I'm like waiting to be disappointed that they don't call it Transformers.
I'm 100% certain that's not gonna happen.
Wow.
But really? You have an inside guess?
100% certain. I would bet almost $20.
Transformers! Come on! Come on!
Yeah, it's the one chance anybody has to do this, and everybody in the fucking planet's gonna go see that movie, even though it's gonna be the worst piece of crap ever. But everyone's gonna go see it, no matter what it's called. They go like, this movie is called Transformers, because it got the four in the middle. It's so fucking dumb. Yeah, I've got tickets for opening night. I'm just saying.
And we'll be among those people.
I will be one of those people.
Let's discount ourselves from that, for God's sake.
That's a series of movies that I hate.
Let's be real here.
But also
that's
kind of
that,
love.
That frustrates me is people with movies like that, where it's like, they're expecting something that they shouldn't be. Like, this is a big, dumb action movie. And if that's what you want, you should see it. Like, don't expect it to be deep or have good writing or whatever, but take it for what it is, and I don't mind them.
Well,
they're fun.
They can end up being a lot more racist than you expected.
Or
something like that. They're like, who ordered the racism for this movie? Nobody wanted racism.
It's like Jar Jar Binks and all the other aliens in fucking.
There's some seriously bizarre.
Number
racism.
One, they're just like, let's just give every one of them a racial stereotype of a voice.
I wasn't nearly as bothered by Jar Jar Binks in that first prequel as I was by those dudes who appear at the very beginning. You remember the green face guys, and they talk like racial characters.
pictures of Asian people.
Yeah. No,
they like literally exactly. go, "Oh, we don't like this." And you're like, "What?
We don't get the fried rice to Naboo."
For real though.
We need to deliver it. Please check out.
And did you notice that there's no windows in their restaurants either?
Oh my God. Well, there you go.
That's how detailed they got with the weird racism.
Why are they serving egg rolls to the Jedi's? It doesn't make sense, George Lucas. Couldn't fit it.
Well, that was actually their laundry. That was one thing that blew my mind, and I never real. It's so obvious. Never realized it until I was reading something on the internet, and someone pointed it out that the Ferengi are supposed to be Jews.
Wow.
Yeah, I've heard people say that.
Them called space Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think I kind of knew that, you know, the Vulcans are kind of Asian, and the really? Klingons are kind of supposed to be black.
Yeah. I don't buy into a lot of that stuff, but yeah,
I always had the impression...
Like, the Ferengis couldn't be more of a, like, Jewish stereotype. Like, huge nose, money-grubbing, selfish, and, like, all this shit.
That is absolutely true. Yeah. Not the Jewish part, but the Ferengi part. That's what... I'm just... Yeah. That is what the Ferengi are.
The Ferengi is the big stereotype
of Jewish people, and that is exactly what Ferengi
they fall in
are.
Line with Jewish stereotypes.
They're both greedy and money obsessed and like business oriented, but then they're also they got the big nose and the sort of thing. So well, it's kind of like, come on,
right? If you look at the first Star Trek, I mean, the Klingons didn't look anything like Worf or nothing. They pretty much just looked like black dudes.
I always got the impression that the Klingons were supposed to be the Russian, or were supposed to be the communists. And they drew strict parallels. I'm sorry to get an actual sincere Star Trek discussion, but they drew strict parallels with that in the sixth Star Trek movie, because Chernobyl had exploded like a year before, and they had this giant Klingon moon exploding.
Wait, so what year was that movie?
91, something like that.
And when did the first Star Trek TV show start?
60s?
During the high time of the Cold War.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think the Romulans were supposed to be Nazis.
Really?
I think so.
No, you're probably right. I think so. I don't know. I'm not versed well enough in the original Star Trek series to know.
I can never tell the Romulans from the Vulcans.
Romulans look just same. Like...
They all look identical.
I believe they're...
Vulcans have 20 years.
They all look the same to me.
I believe they're kind of like the same species, but they branched off into two different civilizations.
I think that's actually the story.
That's actually true.
But... I could never, because I know they're distinct, but I could never tell.
The Romulans are less, they're more aggressive, I think.
Right,
the Romulans are evil, and the Vulcans are good.
Yeah,
they're from the same.
I feel like the Vulcans aren't.
I think it's kind of racist calling a whole species evil. But I know, I'm just saying, I mean, the Kardashians, or whatever they're called.
The
Kardashians.
Kim and Laura.
Kardashians, those are definitely, those guys are evil.
Yes, oh no, they're totally evil.
That's like in their DNA.
Yeah.
Romulans, I don't know. They're not totally evil.
The show, they are.
They're very aggressive.
They're the bad guys.
They're pretty bad.
They're worse than the Klingons, I think.
That's what
they're
I love.
Worse than the Klingons.
That's what I love about in any space
movie. You guys
know
a lot more about Star Trek than I do.
But still not that much. Neither one of us really knows that. So no one here actually knows the answer to these questions.
This is a bonus feature. A bunch of guys that sort of barely know anything about Star Trek talk seriously about Star Trek
Have
for
a serious
5 minutes.
Talk.
Real talk about Star Trek. Guys who don't know what they're
racism
saying.
Racism in Star Trek. No, what
I'm pretty sure it's not that racist. I don't know, though.
But maybe not.
That's what cracks me up in every, like, futuristic alien movie, is that all of a sudden, every race is homogenous. Klingons, Vulcans, like, they're all portrayed, like, they're all basically the same person.
Right? That's
yeah,
true.
It's interesting.
This race is, or this species is completely aggressive. This one loves money, and this one's
yeah,
like,
there would probably be some Klingon guys that were like, hey guys, let's just hang out. Come on. What are we gonna go to war?
I like Sudoku, but today's not a good day to die.
Yeah, and then, like, Earth is totally diverse, filled with different cultures, but the planet Klingon is just all one thing.
It all gets boiled down. No, we were all bad.
We all like this, all of us.
We sleep on metal beds, and we fight when we fuck.
You guys don't have different countries or anything? No, it's all Klingon.
One planet, one country.
Man, and if George Lucas hadn't made the fucking prequels, I could say, yeah, and that's why Star Wars is better than Star Trek. But he made the fucking prequels.
Yeah.
Because you got Chewbacca, who's hanging out with Han Solo, and you're like, hey, well, that's just a guy from this Wookiee planet.
Star Wars
He's just
is
a
almost...
guy from the Wookiee planet, but then you go to the fucking third prequel movie, and it's like, well, on the Wookiee planet, they're all Chewbaccas, and they all fight in this war because they're all a bunch of big monkeys who fight in a war.
Right, the original Star Wars trilogy is almost too diverse, to the point where you're like, is anything like a species, or is it all just a bunch of individual aliens?
That's actually
what I like about it.
That's a funny point, that you would have thought the original Star Wars would have a little bit more of that, like, original Star Trek, like,
no,
kind
no.
of, like, prejudice seeping in.
Yeah.
But no, that came... It was the three new ones.
It's the three new ones he made that have all of that.
Yeah,
basically,
he really incorporated.
Yeah, in the original Star Wars, there's not one alien in like Jabba's palace in Return of the Jedi that's the same. There might be like two. There's like two or three that are like the same, but there's like barely any that are like
Jabba's.
No, I mean, Darth Maul was so obviously Pakistani.
Definitely. Well, we can all agree to that.
Well, the horns. The horns gave it away.
Give me a break.
The horns give it away.
I was sickened by that.
Yeah, you'd think at that bar that they go to in the first Star Wars, there'd be a couple people that were like the same. There's two. There's like three humans, and then everything else is a different thing.
But
and
it is like
they're all friends.
It's an intergalactic spaceport, though, so it's like aliens from all kinds of different planets.
But every alien, it seems like every alien ship has like four different kinds of aliens on it.
There's more than one like humanoid human person because Han Solo's there and Luke Skywalker comes.
You can explain that because it's cheaper.
Well, I think when all the species are completely so homogenous, that's when you're like, all right, we're going to take a Wookiee to fight. We're gonna take
Yoda.
We're gonna take a Yoda because he's good at jumping around. He's got the magic. We're gonna take one of these. Like, so I can understand that. We're gonna take a human because they're pretty ambidextrous. And they can do pretty much everything.
Yeah, it was like Dungeons and Dragons campaign all of a sudden.
Pretty much.
Yeah, right.
That's how I would build my ship if I had to pick from the species.
No, that's true.
There's that
you want to have a well-rounded crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That blue puffy-faced guy who's good at playing the circular piano.
You mean Max Rebo?
I'm sure that's actually his name.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's true. It is actually his name.
Some things are just robots, but hardly any of the robots.
The blue guy with the long ears that plays the, like, flutey or the, like, clarinet-y looking thing?
You remember the guy who has his little
piano? It's the guy, he's got a elephant like a nose, but he's playing
this. I remember because I had a toy of that guy.
He doesn't play the. You're confusing him with the band from the first movie. He's the band in Jabba's Palace. Max Rebo.
Oh, okay.
Max Rebo band is the
so
one.
So not
the
original, but the later ones.
The original in the original movie, it's like all the dudes who look the same playing like the.
Oh jazz, right, they're
great. Forget about those guys.
They're green
in the cantina. You're thinking Max Rebo and Sice Noodles are the band in the
Sice Noodles
in the
see this is what
in my Return of the Jedi this guy
actually friend, knows what he's talking
no,
about
no my friend Andrew
when we get to Star Wars we've actually found a guy who knows what he's talking
Andrew
about.
My friend Andrew is disturbingly good at trivia and with Star Wars like we were up at the Tin Hat bar up the road and they had Star Wars Trivial Pursuit and I'm no good at it so I'm like well I'll just ask you these and these are like questions no one should know the answer to and it was like literally one of the questions was like in the third movie second scene 2 minutes in the background is a character what's his name and he's like oh that's General Kablakok or something I'm like what is wrong with you
yeah, General Kablakok
you should not
we
know
have Return
that.
Of the Jedi
no no that's not Colonel Kablakok
right
it's,
no
Chef,
I the thing is
Lilla.
Thing is I'm like I do know a lot about Star Wars, but I also am, like, terrible at Star Wars trivia.
Have you read the books?
I read the original trilogy novelized. I've never read the, like... Oh. I've never read, like, the like, canon books, you know, where it builds between shit. I couldn't do it. I was just like, eh. Because those books are awful. I didn't feel like I was... I like watching Star Wars because it turns out because I liked watching awesome fucking sci-fi fantasy movies. And then when I read the books, I'd be like, well, this is just a boring sci-fi book that has barely anything to do with Star Wars.
See, that was the point. My friend Andrew and my friend Luke, that was the point of, like, nerdity that they got to where they, like, read all of those extraneous books.
I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it because they weren't good, you know? And it's the same reason I don't like the... Not that they're as bad as the prequels, same reason I don't like the prequel trilogy. It's not... It sucks, so I'm like, well, I don't like it.
I like the third prequel just because they made up the bad writing and acting with the action. They had enough fucking action in there to make appease me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. One time, Travis and I and some of our other friends, we have a semi-regular thing we do called Chili Night, where we...
What's that about?
Well, I'm going to explain it. Travis makes his world-famous, I believe it's his recipe passed down through his family, chili, which is basically just, like, the best thing you've ever tasted in your life. And we watched some shitty movies. And one time, one of our friends he'd watched episode one in the theater, and then he was the only person that any of us knew that was, like, able to go, like, well, I'm not gonna go to the other ones when they come out, and actually didn't. So we were like, well, you have to watch those sometime. So we did a chili night for him, and we watched all three prequels back to back.
And probably 15 to 20 people showed up during the process of the whole thing.
Some of them were in, a lot of them were in and out.
Came in and out.
Some people went and came and went.
That was the most epic chili night we ever did, though.
But we, The third one is not better than the first one, I wouldn't say. It's better just because it's not the most boring movie ever made.
Right, it's got more action to cover up all the bad stuff. At least for me.
It has some bad action,
has
too,
a few
though.
Things in it that I could actually describe as good. Like, I don't think I could ascribe any positive qualities to the first two movies.
Now we're just talking about Star Wars.
Well, I have to say...
it tends to happen.
The first time I saw the first one, I was pretty goddamn excited about the final fight.
Oh, we all loved...
We all liked the first one the first time we saw it. That's a common thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, because you said that the second two are the ones that were useless? Or the...
Well, yeah, well, the first one, when Phantom Menace came out, we were all so excited about a new Star Wars movie that we all loved it for at least, like, 3 months because we were just kind of like... Yeah, it couldn't. We in our back of our minds going, it can't actually be that bad, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It can't actually. And but like, the pod then eventually, you know, after seeing
scene.
It more than once in the theater, we were all like, it was bad. And for a while, we all went, it was bad, but the pod race was cool.
Right.
But then you watch it again and go, it's all bad.
You're trying
the
to
pod race
excuses.
Is the most boring part of the fucking movie, actually.
The first time I saw Spider-Man, I thought it was good. And then the second time I tried to watch it, I turned it off after 15 minutes. I couldn't even sit through it.
That's fairly similar. I think Spider-Man is still a vastly superior film
incredibly.
To the prequels.
Yeah.
But that's true.
The Star Wars prequels.
Oh, yeah. Because Spider-Man is real dumb looking. And it's just, I think the second one's pretty good. Like, I kind of like it.
Third one.
But man, that first one, I had the same thing where I was like, Spider-Man's on TV. I'll watch this And then
you know what I actually liked was the Electro movie.
That is absolutely
serious.
It's not necessarily great, but you're kind of expecting Daredevil, and it's 1,000 times better than Daredevil.
What?
I've only seen part of it.
I'm not calling it good. I never saw Daredevil because give me a break. But
that's a fun bad movie though.
Is it?
It's real bad. There's a
but bad in a good way. Or just
bad.
Not
to get on too much of a Daredevil digression, but there is a scene.
We're already in our Star Wars digression.
Where he meets up with Elektra for the first time. It's Jennifer Garner, right?
Yeah.
Right? And they have, like, a gymnastics competition in a public park.
Sounds about right.
On, like, playground equipment and stuff. And it's just up there with the dumbest things I've ever seen in a movie before. And I love that sort of thing.
Because there's a fine line, and I think the line is... The difference between a bad good movie and just a bad movie is whether they're trying to make it good. Because all the bad good movies I've seen, they were trying so hard to make this a fantastic movie.
Those end up being the best.
And that's why they're so good, because they you can tell they're trying to make it good and you just failed so horribly. But like Rob Zombie, like he makes these movies and he's trying to make them like bad, kitschy things. And they're at least to me, horrible.
Deliberate kitsch is pretty... I'm not crazy about it. Yeah, it's got to have that sincerity behind it.
Right.
To make it a good, bad movie.
You ever seen Crossroads, 1986?
With
Ralph Macchio?
Ralph Macchio and the Ry Cooder soundtrack?
It's my number one movie of all time.
Yeah, I've seen that movie a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because my parents had the soundtrack to it. And Ralph Macchio played his own guitar. He aped it pretty well, I thought. Because there's a lot of scenes where he has to... And I've played guitar before, and I was like, that looks like he's playing guitar.
Yeah, I think he did a good job.
I'm sure he wasn't doing the final track or anything like that, because that was like world-class level guitar playing.
Yeah, as far as I know, I think Ry Cooder did the guitar playing,
Ry
too.
Yeah, Ry Cooder, and then what's his big battle at the end with the devil? Steve Vai, that's right. It's pretty cool.
Love that movie.
Pretty cool movie. And I've listened to the soundtrack, I'm sure, something close to 1,000 times, because that's just all my dad listened to.
Oh, nice.
For years.
That's how I found it out, too.
Five, 6 years,
probably. One of our, like, movies in our, like, VHS collection of, like, 13 growing up. That, and, like, Remo Williams.
The Adventure Begins. That's a good bad movie.
I wouldn't even call that bad. I would just call that good.
It's kind of dumb, but...
It is, but I like... It's one of those movies I legitimately like.
I do, too. Like, when that's on, I watch it.
I mean, Crossroads, I'm gonna say that's... I mean, yeah, it's kind of bad, but really, there's, like, no irony anymore.
I think Crossroads is pretty good. I've seen it a couple times, and as a movie, it's
with fun. Ralph Macchio, not Britney Spears.
Britney Spears one, if you haven't seen that, though, is actually a classic of bad film.
Really?
Oh, there's some fantastic stuff in it.
Well, I think we're out about time here.
I think so.
Did you guys want to plug some of your stuff?
We did before, but then we...
Do you want to plug anything that people could actually see by the time this comes on?
No, I go to Amazon.com, buy Steel of Fire Warriors 2010 AD, or rent. You can watch it on Amazon. You can buy it, rent it to...
Rent it and buy it.
It's our feature film. You can, you know, you can do that.
So you're selling that.
Oh yeah, we've been selling it for a while.
Are you selling Adventure?
Adventure Buddies.
Adventure Buddies also.
Yeah, somewhere. Not on Amazon.
Not on Amazon?
No, but
some. You have to go.
I can't
the
remember.
I can tell who's the brains behind this.
Yeah, you have to go to a basement in an alleyway in Chinatown.
Yeah, it's me. I guess that's the only other thing to plug.
How much are you selling that for?
$100.
The DVD of Steel of Fire Wars?
Yeah.
I can't remember, but $100. It's, look up Steel of Fire Wars 2010 AD on Amazon.com. You can watch it right on there, you know, they stream it on Amazon, so.
Well, you still pay for it.
Yeah, you still have to pay.
I think that's
it's like
$3 renting.
It's like,
or something.
It's like $3 or $2 or something.
I'm just curious how much you guys set for the price.
It's boring, because I would set it lower. It's like $13 or something. I would set it a little lower probably, but it's the company, you know, when you go through Amazon, you have to set a base price, which is higher than I would like, so I'm like, eh.
Right.
So it doesn't cost that much, but you can buy the DVD, get some extra features, you know, and stuff too, 2-disc set, but, you know, if you just want to watch it, do that, because it's,
cool.
The most excellent sci-fi action fantasy comedy shot in Ravenna Park in the last, ever, as far as I know.
It's pretty good. I don't know if I've seen all of them, but I know I've seen all the Adventure Buddies.
Yeah.
I think I've seen most of the Steel Fire too, and it's all fantastic.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thanks.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Go to funnierdie.com/clerkthevote.
We watched a couple episodes of Adventure Buddies the other day. It was weird.
Well,
it's
always
it's
hard to look back on
something.
It's
just the two of us, and we're watching the two of us. We enjoyed it, don't get me wrong.
Oh,
it's kind of like, we're just watching ourselves.
Yeah, that's
this
a little
odd,
oddly
it's
masturbatory.
Odd thing to do. And we were masturbating at the time,
mm-hmm.
too.
Right.
Yeah.
But that, I didn't think that was weird.
No,
I think that's natural and beautiful.
Well, yeah, I was being very dynamic, and Travis was, you know.
That was powerfully masturbating.
Just a tiger penis shoved in his
bring
mouth.
It,
I was using rocks
around.
To masturbate with.
Yeah.
You're just throwing them against
your throwing rocks at my dick. That's how I do it. Big rocks. Yeah. And then I just end up on a cinder block, you know, just, well, I'll release the video soon enough.
Yeah.
We can all see it. We can all see it and enjoy it.
Let's get a good price point on that.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to set the price.
All right. Facebook.com/BWDpodcast and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for being on, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
No, thank you. I rode down a well, rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse. Hey, did you know that I had a horse? I rode down a well, rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse. Hey, did you know that I had a horse? I rode down a well, rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse. Hey, did you know that I had a did you know that I had it? I had it. I had it. Hey, did you know that I had it? I had it. I had it. Hey, did you know? Hey, did you know that I had a horse? I rode it down a well. I rode a horse. I killed a horse. I lived in a horse. My horse. Hey, did you